5, 4, 3, 2, 1, sink.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 238 of the TTV podcast. I'm Mesa.
Thank you.
I'm Bart. That was like a pained Mardi Gras that time.
I'm LJ.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Fweffy.
I'm Tenebrae Invictus.
I'm the XX Trooper.
And how's everybody doing this week?
Doing pretty good.
Which episode is this?
238.
Said it at the start.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, no.
Pay attention next time.
I missed it. Sorry. I just wanted to reiterate that.
Wow, dude. Wait to miss it. The heck.
I'm doing great, Mesa.
Not like you.
I'm thinking about
welcome to Brickfeed 238 or whatever, and then say names and then welcome Brickfeed 38.
Yeah. Right.
Mix it up.
Yeah.
All I heard was E.
How about ears at the here store?
Then your parents built you at the
here at the
baby
store,
and they built a baby. They just didn't give you some good ears, huh?
Yep.
It was the knockoff Chinese build a baby, so I did the best I could.
The budget ears.
Hey, there's one good thing about having British ears. They're so big that the sound reverbs inside them.
Is that a thing? Is
no.
British ears being big a thing?
Well, yes.
The new stereotype?
Yeah. Is it a stereotype?
Look out for them.
Yeah, it's a stereotype.
Heard that one. Another stereotype?
I've heard the teeth one. I don't think I've ever heard big ears.
Just basically big, like, facial features that are ugly.
Crooked ears.
What I remember about British people is that they're really sarcastic, and they also don't like interacting with people.
Yeah, that sounds very
very
accurate.
British.
Yep.
Nice.
Maybe it's just how they lash out at all the people making fun of them.
Maybe
that's
so.
Yeah.
Maybe so.
Listen, they used to rule the world, and then now they're like tiny little. You ever think like Queen Victoria, or who is it? Is it Victoria? Is it Elizabeth?
Elizabeth.
Queen Victoria.
Culture.
I was watching
Elizabeth the second.
Europe is in place too.
Theresa
May.
I can't remember the last time. I always say the Queen. I actually forgot like her. I can't believe it. I'm gonna have to Google this.
This hurt President Eisenhower is building a wall.
Man. Like Elizabeth ever like kind of wakes up in the morning and
Elizabeth the second.
How much she used to like rule, and now it's like you ever see like she goes to other countries, like, you know what, used to be mine a long time ago, now it's not, but like, you know,
I don't think she really gives a crap. I mean, let's be honest, she's like 90 years old now.
Yeah, I think
well,
she
maybe
just
when she
like
was a younger,
I'm sure, like, she just likes to like look after her tons of corgis and just pose to everybody and pretend like she's the most impartial person ever, because she has to be, because she's the queen. So
I want to have a conversation with Queen Elizabeth. So I just want to sit down and be like, you know what? How is life? How have you enjoyed your life?
You know what? Well, me too. I kind of want to ask that too.
I'm sure she's got some good stories to tell.
I would be like, you know, Queen Elizabeth.
We should have her on
that
TTV.
If you brought Bionicle.
Yeah,
I would love the Queen to be on
if
TTV.
You a Bionicle like, fan, Queen Elizabeth?
My granddad actually has met the Queen.
Oh,
no way.
You gotta meet her.
Super
gotta,
cool trivia.
Nice.
Yeah, I
wish I was British for the sole fact of I wanted
family,
to be knighted.
Our family gets invited to her like special garden party. But
Wait,
I never go,
serious?
Though. Yeah, I'm being serious.
No way. So why don't you go?
Because, I don't know, I just keep forgetting that it's a thing.
Who would accept a peasant like me?
Whoops, I forgot to go to the Queen's party.
You know,
oh well. Like, let's go drink some more
President
tea,
Trump,
love.
He invites me to his birthday party, but I always forget about it too. I'm just like, ah, man, Trump's birthday again just slipped my mind.
It makes me think of Michael McIntyre's skit where he's like, oh, he's like, LOL, can't wait to see you. But it would be more like, oh, sorry, Queen, I can't come. I'm not feeling it today.
Yeah,
like,
right? No, I sent a thing. Sorry, Donnie,
it
can't
sent,
make it.
It's sent, Donnie. Like, in the most fancy, like, silk
today, so
envelope with a red seal. Like, think of Harry Potter letters. Think of, like, one of those.
Oh,
it's
right,
sent
right.
Like
that. No,
like, it's like, it opens it, like, 2 weeks after the party. Sorry, couldn't come.
Like, the Queen keeps sending, like, owls to your house. Being like, come to my garden party.
She keeps sending like grenadier guards and
freaking
like corgis.
Queen, she keeps sending the owls. I'm tired of these owls.
There's no post on Sunday.
Oh man.
Queen
has no respect for postal laws.
We're going far away where she can't find us.
America.
I want you to go to her birthday party.
We gotta go to America.
I love it. I absolutely love it. All
we
right.
just need to go to Scotland or Ireland or Wales. That's even closer.
Look at it this way, Flav. You get invited to go to the Queen, see the Queen.
I'm actually
Donald
gonna,
Trump doesn't get invited.
If
Donald
I'm
Trump
invited,
is disinvited.
If I'm
so
invited,
you are one-upping Donald Trump right now.
If That's I'm invited, I'll come this year. But I don't know. Like, she might not even last.
Yes! Wait a second. That's the perfect voice. It's a new meme. You can be like, Meso, be like, hello and welcome to the Queen's Garden Party. And then we'll just be like, hey, garden party! You know?
Imagine there's like a picture of me and the Queen, and I'm just like looking like the biggest idiot ever. Just like.
No, I was about to say, you need to take a picture of the Queen, but right before they take the shot, you yell out Mardi Gras.
I should do like something embarrassing, like a dab or something.
All right, well. How's everybody been doing this week? Has anything interesting happened to anyone? Anybody done anything?
I got
money
free
dream.
Lego.
From who?
Oh, wow.
I made an order from Lego Bricks and Pieces, and then it didn't go through properly, and so they sent me an email after they said everything was okay and your order's on the way. They sent me an email saying that, hey, that we didn't get paid or something, so you need to call in less than a week, otherwise we'll cancel your orders. So I call them, and they're saying that the money's not here, and I'm like, but I don't have the money. It got sent. So they're just saying that you should call your bank. And then I call my bank, and then this like hungover teenager is talking to me, and he says the money is float, like his words, word for word, the money is float, like flowing around and stuff. So
yeah,
so I can't get that money again. So they're like, you're gonna have to call the Lego group themselves. So I'm like, oh man, if I only thought
it's
of that, you know.
Around and stuff.
So is he like, what was he hungover off of? Like, let's be real here.
Wow.
What was he hungover off of? Well,
there's usually about one thing you get hungover from, so I'm assuming it was that.
I'd say there are two things. You either get hungover from alcohol, or you get hungover like
you mean
a Kool-Aid? Towel rack.
Yeah, guys, Kool-Aid.
I mean, we all drink Kool-Aid.
Off a pit.
I drank that
Kool-Aid
at like 5
a.m. I didn't.
I was pretty hungover
Kool-Aid
that next morning.
But I had the nicest Kool-Aid the second time I went to America. Like, she made nice. Perfect Kool-Aid. We suck at making Kool-Aid.
So
no.
No,
I mean,
no, you suck at making Kool-Aid.
It was rich, it was super
you guys
concentrated
dumped,
and, like,
yeah,
sugar.
I dumped, like, I dumped.
Let's go back to the X-Story. Let's go back to the X-Story.
What
did
you
finish the story?
So
did you get money back, or what?
I called back Lego again, you know, and Lego has incredibly good customer service. I just need to put that out of the way. And it's the same girl that I talked to yesterday. It's like, hi, it's you again. How are you doing? And it's like, great and all, whatever. She's really posh, Norwegian, but... No, she's not. She didn't talk English. She talked Norwegian, but posh Norwegian.
Oh.
So that's some sort of English. Immersion going on here, you know? just getting a little show. But
I love how posh Norwegian is, like an English accent.
Yeah, basically. But I got another card to pay because, like, I don't know where that money is. Like, that's just something that I'll take care of later and because I'll fish it out because it's floating around or something. But... I got another card to pay, and then everything went through, and, like, for security reasons, I needed to, like... It was really weird, because she knew who I was, and she had all the information, but because of security reasons, I had to go through everything all over again, and all that, and so,
Yeah,
and it was like, what's your card number, where do you live, what's your name, la-di-da, and I'm just like, yeah.
There's, like, three of us here that have worked in customer service over the phone system.
Yeah,
so.
you know how this is, you know. But the audience might not necessarily know. And so she said because of all that worry, like what we'd like to send you like an extra Lego just for you just because of because of all this stuff that you had to go
one
through.
One extra brick.
One next? No, no, just a Lego set.
This brick is for you.
They said Lego set, and they said Lego sets. They're just like, what type of Lego do you like? And I'm just like,
the Death Star.
Lego Batman? Like I just.
I like UCS models only. I'm a collector.
I should have just said Star Wars. Like they said, like a little Lego set.
Dude, you should have said Bionicle. What are you thinking about?
They don't have Bionicle, and then they just
sent
me like
something
generic.
What brand are you referring to, sir?
Nah, dude. They,
you mean the two-time world reigning failure? All right, yeah.
They would have brought it back. Man.
X, did you call a Lego store or did you call like Lego corporate?
No Lego brand stores in all of Norway. I had to call their customer service.
So Lego is customer service.
Lego's customer service. Yes.
Ah, they gotta have a Tahu lying around. Come on.
I mean,
unless they sent every single one to BZ Power.
Technically speaking,
or if I want Bionicle, I can just go to the store and buy them myself because they're still in the shelves here. No one bought them. They're still there. Hero Great Factory maker. Here. You know, it's a
May
museum.
It rest in pieces.
All right, so what set did they end up giving you, man?
I don't know. Sorry. That's the thing. It's a surprise thing. They just said, dude. They're just like, hey, with your order, we'll put in a little Lego set. Hey, what theme do you like? And I just said Lego Batman. So like I'll get a Lego Batman set, and I have
Joker's
none of the
Escape.
Lego Batman sets. So.
Yeah, I bet it's gonna be Joker's Escape.
Almost all of them are really good sets. So
yeah, that's the thing. That's why I said Lego Batman movie because if I said Star Wars, I'd get like. Some prequel stuff no one cares about. Yeah. Like, no. Like I'll go with Lego Batman. You know, it's gonna be good either way.
Yeah, all the Lego Batman sets.
Yeah. So that was my little journey of how I'm gonna get a free Lego set, which I don't know which one is, but it's gonna be Lego Batman.
All right, keep
well,
us updated.
Fantastic.
Keep
Does
us
anybody
updated.
Anybody else have interesting stuff happen?
Hey, the people in our live studio audience want us to mention that Ven's Mask Shop is now doing international shipping.
Ooh.
Yay.
Go check it out.
Does he ever do you know if he posts like the commissions he's done, or is that like kind of like a more private thing?
I have no Good idea question. Because he's only shown us one of the ones that he did, but I don't know if he's posted on
Yeah,
the
he
boards.
Showed us, but I don't
he
know
hasn't,
if he's posted.
I don't think he's actually like finished everything.
Okay. Well, long story short, you guys, well, from what we've seen, from what Ven's been doing behind the scenes, they are stellar. They are like really good. He did one the other day.
It blew my mind.
It is literally one of the best things I've ever seen. I couldn't believe. I honestly was
literally,
like, I can't believe this is real right now.
It is one of the best things I've ever seen.
Is Vin like paying us royalties for these advertisements?
No, unfortunately.
Here's my thing. Everyone in the live studio audience is saying, "Hey, Vin has international shipping now." Yeah, he's part of our group. Like he tells us things.
But like they want his mention on
the
podcast.
The audience doesn't know.
He should be here to talk about this. Like
that
last
is true.
Literally well, no, last minute.
Yeah, that's
kind of
what
there.
I was thinking too. I was
to
like,
be fair.
Last
to be
minute.
Fair,
he was
the reason
saying,
I'm
oh,
doing it now
gone.
Instead of like if Ven wasn't here, I'd be like, nah. But like he does have a legitimate reason for not being here this time. So
really? I didn't hear it.
He woke up with some illness.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay, so. Fine.
Well, that sucks.
He's been kind of under the weather.
He's a
lately,
little Bobby.
So. Yeah. Well,
what about you, LJ? Anything interesting happen this
week? I shall
be
sending him letters by owl carrier. He missed.
Nice. I think owls are back in vogue. Everybody, let's start bringing owls back.
All right, we're gonna bring owls back. Well, forget the pandemic panda. We'll be like the pandemic owl.
Doesn't deliver any letters. All letters get lost. There's just bird poop everywhere.
Yeah.
OP
never.
It's like we could actually call it the owl pandemic, and then we can say the joke is OP never delivers. Yeah.
Wow. That was.
Oh.
Wow.
So yes, I did do something over the week. I got a chance to guest star on the BCC Crew podcast.
Oh boy.
Nice.
And shouting out another podcast, Blasphemy.
Yeah, Blasphemy.
Another podcast about Bionicle that and Lego that we're shouting out.
Who authorized this?
I don't know. Did you sign off on this? I didn't sign off
Mesa
on this.
I didn't sign off on this. What is this?
Mesa signed off on it.
It's BCC.
You know, me and Var both don't sign off on it. Like, we both negatively do that. I think that's two versus
well,
one, right?
It's okay, Kahi. You can edit it out. No worries. But yeah, no, I got the
guest
star.
I'll cross it out. Just cut out your audio entirely.
Yeah.
I got the guest on the podcast, and it was a lot of fun. They do things a little bit differently than we do, and it was still a really great time. We got to play a game, and that was really fun. And it, so like fun. We have known about the BCC for a while. We saw them at, we met them at Brick Fair.
Yep.
And they were really excited about that, and I was really excited about that, and I was really excited to be on. It's a really fun episode. You guys should definitely go check them out at some point.
Well, that is awesome. I'm glad to hear it went well.
Oh, yeah.
Was, so, they were very cool people at Brick Fair. Really good.
Yeah, we met them at Brick Fair. Yeah,
they were pretty cool.
I listened to one of their things beforehand, but I remember we distinctly, like, we sat down and listened.
One thing they've done recently was a video with the Modularity Channel.
They did, and it's actually really cool. They did, like, a bunch of games and stuff.
Really well edited. Really like that format.
Waj edited that, actually.
Waj did.
He is so incredibly talented. He did a phenomenal job.
That was really good.
It was really entertaining, too. I was rooting for BCC the entire time, which, go check it out. I'm not going to spoil the ending, but you gotta check it out.
They've been on both podcasts, actually. Both Modularity's podcast and the BCC, haven't you?
Yes. Yes, I have.
That's true.
Look at you, just cheating on us.
going around breaking hearts.
I'm not cheating on you guys.
Collecting your jar of parts.
It's too okay. Jar of parts. Maybe I'm a.
Oh boy.
That was good. That was so good.
I was actually listening to that song yesterday.
I like what Scorpion Strike in our live studio audience said. LJ podcasts around.
I'm podcasting with a lot of different people. I like to podcast around.
We're saying there's nothing special between us.
Next thing we know, we'll be seeing LJ on Instagram. Oh,
no. Listen, maybe I was building with BCC, but I went on Modularity and I was like, hey buddy, you remember me? You know who we are?
Remember LJ has 100%, 110% chance of stealing your podcast.
But yeah, no, I've gotten the opportunity to be on a lot of podcasts recently, because I was on the Gearbox podcast with Shadow Gear and Elyra. And I know Kahi, you were as well.
Yeah, actually, I was just going to say, they literally just released my episode. I was going to talk about it after
you're
done.
Yeah, apparently you were vulgar.
Whoa, dude.
I did,
sounds
about
right.
Chill. I think I did mention a certain place once.
Mm. Ooh, I heard you dropped a bomb with a giant F on it.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Flannel? Because you see, over.
I mean, to be fair, he did that the last episode, too. So.
Okay, that is a great point.
That's, yeah. Like, right. How long is that story going to keep going around?
I really hope you don't have a self-control.
Listen, even if you didn't intentionally do it, you totally did it.
but yeah, no, I've been on three different podcasts outside TTV. And they've all been very different, very fun. Man, I really do podcast around.
Thumbs up.
Really
that's great.
I'm thinking back. I'm pretty sure the last time it's happened, it's been edited out for other people. So as all people know, I've been the only one to do it. But there's been distinct times, man.
It's only edited out if it doesn't like contribute much to the actual show itself. But that one was very good.
Frustration
ending to that conversation.
Was legitimate.
Yeah. Oh boy, well, I'm gonna get frustrated a little more this episode. So.
Anybody else got anything they want to talk about?
All right. Well,
before this podcast was going on,
I got one last thing here I want to talk about real quick. All right.
This is related. This is an ongoing situation. Go ahead and.
Oh man. Okay.
Go ahead and explain. Everybody, brace yourself for a Kahi.
I'm gonna explain why
you don't like to hear Kahi talk for a long time. You might want to tune out now.
Yeah, timestamp in the description.
You can just stop watching the podcast because that's kind of the whole deal.
No, pause, unsubscribe, and don't come back.
All right, here's the deal, right? Here's the deal. So we do...
What's going on?
Tell me
what's happening.
We as a channel, we basically get a lot of messages. We get messages all the time. Anyway, we spend like an hour and a half sometimes talking. So
I just remembered what you're about to talk about.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
Obviously, like sometimes we're in the midst of conversation and we forget something. We make an incorrect statement.
I know.
People call us out on it. That's perfectly fine. Here's the issue. Here's the issue with people. All right, is when they call you out on it. All right, which is great. But they're wrong. And then you have to be like, no. So this happened with the Lego Batman coverage. So like there, at one point, I referred to the there's a monster in it, and I kind of refer to it as Godzilla. That's why I say I call it right. Godzilla. And then someone in the comments is like, that's actually not Godzilla. It's actually
Cthulhu. Okay, wait, okay, pause. Like it's like okay. It's cracking. You got a statement wrong by right. calling him Godzilla. Right, perfectly right. understandable, right?
Right?
Someone leaves a comment saying, actually, that's not Godzilla. Right. Perfectly understandable, right?
Right. No, they're right. They should call me out on it because I was wrong. I mean, I feel it's an understandable mistake, like, you know, of Godzilla and the Kraken from Clash of Titans. But then they're like, it's Cthulhu, and Warner Brothers doesn't have the rights to Godzilla. That's why they can't use it. And I'm like, okay, hold up. Whoa. Pretty sure that's not Cthulhu. Pretty sure Cthulhu has a very iconic tentacle beard design that was there at all.
Hey.
Also, Warner Brothers literally just did a Godzilla movie. They literally did it.
I think, but what if Cthulhu had a shave, though?
Sure. Cthulhu shave.
I love it. It's like, He corrected your incorrect statement by providing something even more incorrect.
Man, dang, Kahi's TGV's just a bunch of fake news, guys.
It's misinformation.
Alternative facts.
Alternative facts. Misinformation.
Those are my favorite kind of comments, right? It's like the correcting thing is not that big of a deal, but
no, yeah, totally.
I just love the people that like to leave comments stating things like as it's a matter of a fact, like it's true, 100% right. accurate. Like they researched this before they commented. They're saying it as though there's no question at all. And you read it, and it's just like, did you just make that up? I think they just made that up.
It's like a thing where it's like, listen, I obviously like you know, for us, we're in the midst of a conversation, so like you know that's something. But you're leaving a comment. You don't need like you have all the time in the world. Just Google what you're doing before you make that comment. You know, and like kind of look like an idiot. Like I wish I could like pause time and then Google something in the podcast and look it up and then be like, okay, this is what happened. You know what I'm saying? Right. So like you
so
have
what
that.
What has happened in this current?
So let me tell you something that happened with Bionicle D3 a couple of podcasts ago. This guy, oh man, this guy commented. This is when we're still doing this element debate, right? This guy comments and he says, "Hey, you guys, you need to research the original Bionicle elements." And, like, the stuff they stood for. And I'm bringing up his comment right here. And essentially, he says, each element stands for something along the lines of cognition. Like, fire's creativity, ice is focus, stone's refinement, earth memory, air communication, and water is, like, learning or teaching. Okay? So, and he's like, there's more elements with a deeper meaning, and the only elements that don't stand for anything are gravity and magnetism.
Okay.
So...
very factual statement, right?
Very
statement
factual
that sounds
statement.
Like he just yeah.
So I'm like,
knows
I've
what
never
he's talking
heard this
about.
Before. Yeah, right. I never heard this before. So I just asked him. I said, "Hey, this ever actually mentioned in canon? Because I don't remember ever hearing something like this." He says, "Yes, it is. It's the reason why the Matoran of each element were specialized in everything, and each of them needed to serve like his purpose or whatever." Mm. And I'm like, "Well, okay, sure. I understand
that's
for
cool,
purpose.
Right?
Yeah. It's like that's cool." But I'm like, I never read it. Where was it actually mentioned? Was it in like a book or one of the guides or something? He goes, "I'm sorry, I need to clarify. It's in the source material that Bionicle is based on, the Maori culture and lore.
Maori.
So like the elements and what they're saying for is rooted. Maori, I'm sorry. I apologize. See, exactly. Thank you for calling me out on that and knowing what you're talking about, Mesa. I appreciate
Wait,
you for
I,
doing
oh,
that.
Oh.
Oh, you too, Andy. Sorry. Yeah, sorry. I didn't hear you first.
Alternative facts. Jeez.
So it's not in the canon of Bionicle.
No,
it's the canon of the Maori culture.
The Maori, it's rooted in the old understanding of the world that the Maori had before the colonists took over, apparently. Which I was like, okay. Except you also mentioned stone and ice. And Lego sat down and told that they originally wanted four elements, you know, the traditional four, fire, water, air, and earth. And then Lego's like, hey, we make six toys a wave, so can you give us two more? And they're like, sure, stone and ice. So unless the Maori came, like, after Lego made the decision in 1999, unless, like, the old, the cognitive theories of Maori came afterwards, there's no way the fire, that ice and stone should actually mean anything. That's, like, that's not a... That's, you know, that's completely just out of there, right? All right. So that's already kind of questionable. Anyhow, he goes in again. He says, like, I feel you guys need to fully understand what the elements were, what they were, before you make any changes to them. And I'm like, well, I mean, like, you're going about it saying like, hey, you guys should research. This is the things that you literally should have researched. I'm like, but you made it up. I know he made it up. Okay. And do you know why I know I made it up? Because I freaking researched it myself. Because I looked it up. I freaking looked up. I Googled. I looked up, like, old Maori culture. I looked up, like, stuff from Bionicle. So then he goes, I didn't make this up. It's in the design notes. I'm like, oh, hey, hold what? On now.
What design notes is he talking about?
In the design notes.
In the design notes. And I'm like, okay, hold up. So first of all, I said, was this mentioned in canon? He says yes. Then I'm like, where is it in canon? He's like, oh, I'm sorry, it's in Maori culture and lore. And I'm like, well, I mean, like, no, it's not. That can't, unless Maori culture and lore is developed after 1999. Where I goes like, we have six toys we need to do. I don't think that they would have ever considered ice and stone separate elements.
And then, design notes then.
and let's be honest, do you know who has access to the design notes? The people who worked on the project and who have been gracious enough to release this info to us. And Kai, you looked through all of it. You went through Templar Studios, you went through Alistair Swinnerton's blog.
Okay. Listen, I went through, because again, this is my thing. I went through and I looked through everything. I went through every single design note released by Christian Faber, every single blog post made by Christian Faber about Bionicle. I went through Alistair Swinnerton's blog. I went through like the Templar stuff. I literally went through every single like piece of concept I could find, every design note that's been released by Bionicle that I could find. Literally zero mention of this. And right, like, literally nothing.
No sources have been provided to you throughout this discussion.
Nothing at all. I asked him for a source. I'm like, now it's like, I was like, hey, you've said these different things now. Can you provide the actual source for this? He goes on a tirade. he says, I'll gather my research and send it to you later. I want to address how you're trying to discredit me, and I'm trying to figure out why. He's like, my story hasn't changed. The concepts are discussed in the notes, mostly created by the Maori, and are evident in the presentation. And then he goes to the thing, and then he's like, you're the one of the audience. He goes to the thing, he's like talking about how we treat fans. You squander it by talking over each other, being close to ideas, the foreign to your idea, Bionicle, yada yada. It's frustrating, this is a quote from it, it is frustrating when it is apparent that none of you have a more in-depth understanding for Bionicle, and the source is in it.
Okay.
Brutal.
So listen.
And then I'm like, okay.
I've had no interaction with this guy whatsoever. And I'd like our listeners to notice, we've never mentioned his name at all here. We're not going. Yeah. We're not going to mention his name because we're not going to try and get a witch hunt started.
I mean, they can
started.
Find the comment
that's,
if they
really
want
That's
not
it. How we mm. operate here. But listen, how much audacity do you have to say that we specifically don't have an understanding or appreciation or have devoted any amount of time to Bionicle as a theme? Do you know what we have in this channel?
That's all we have.
Do you know how long we've been talking about Bionicle? Do you know
like that's
how many groups have an entire database of set reviews full?
Yeah.
Us.
It's
with the
like
only
you
ones.
Post a claim that's completely unsubstantiated. And when people don't take the bait, then you start attacking them for being
exactly.
closed-minded
like,
to ideas.
And then he goes, he's finally saying, like, there's a massive list of people who like, take issue with TTV and how you guys operate. And they're like, oh, I've remained optimistic, none of it's true, but the way you're treating me now, I'm starting to see what they mean. I'm treating you now because you made something up. And you're like, you guys should research this, and literally just put out something that I've literally looked up to try and find, and I can't find it. I literally can't find it
that
in any
like
of the
really
sources
feel.
You freaking said. And you know, like, I was like, it's not just because, like, oh, you're saying something that I don't agree with. It's because you literally, like, you went out to freaking bull pasture, went out to freaking bull farm, out into, like, the bull field, took out, like, scooped up a freaking bull poo-poo platter, and just, like, shoved it right into the comments. I don't know if it's coming out of your butt or the bull's butt, it's coming out of someone's butt, but I can't find it.
Jeez. Whoa. That got real crazy, real fast.
Why can't you just let it be true?
Today, things coming out of people's butts.
Okay.
The bull poopy platter.
That's just what we have to deal with.
Listen.
Again, with this guy. Like, I'm so annoyed that I had to fact check this dude. That's like,
wait, John, you're annoyed?
I'm going around fact checking this dude.
You're annoyed.
No idea.
I hope you listen to this tell. And realize that this wouldn't have happened if you had just been like, oh, I was mistaken, I'm sorry.
Not even that. Had you been like, hey, this is a cool idea I had, it would have been like, oh, okay, that's actually kind of cool. But the thing is that you started out being like, you guys need to research. You guys should actually pay attention to some of the stuff that's already mentioned in, like, Maori culture and, like, design notes. And it's like, we have. We literally have. That's why I'm calling you out on it, because we have, and I literally can't find anything about what you're saying at all. Just, like, it's nothing. Yeah.
It's kind of an intriguing statement, though. Like, I wonder what convinced him to think that was in canon.
I don't know.
Someone like, in our audience mentioned that it was like he read too much into the Minog 2 charms. And I forget what those were. Do you think that has...
Maybe.
What were they?
I can't remember. Someone looked it up.
Oh, wait. You're talking about the tribe
Minog
charms?
Minog 2's charms, yeah.
The charms in Minog 2.
What about them?
I think they gave you skills, but I don't think they had anything to do with constant development.
Yeah, no.
It's interesting that this, because the guy obviously he thinks it's canon, so there's something that made him think that.
Okay, I see what you mean.
That's a theory. That there's nothing. There's nothing.
Here's the scoop with the charms. The charms, they are regarding skills per village, different principles and Koli skills, like every. Every village has kind of like a principle of their own that counteracts one of the Rakshi. For instance, Turok, the Red Rakshi, is the Rakshi of fear. So, as Scorpion Strike and Our Lives Duty audience just mentioned, Takoro, conversely, has a temple of courage. And branching off of courage is duty and strength. And it goes down the
Nothing
list.
About creativity. Right.
Creativity is
with Pokoro. That is true.
The only thing that could even slightly resemble creativity is creation with Pokoro.
Right.
Yeah.
But again, these are virtues that the Matoran hold. Yeah. They're not like the elements do not represent cognitive.
No.
These
have no
theories.
Ties to the elements themselves. They're just linked with different villages to oppose the Rakshi.
I mean, even if he did provide a design note, that doesn't change his initial thing where he's like, hey, you know, you guys should research this. And I was like, is it in canon? He's like, yeah, it's in canon. I was like, well, okay, well, I mean, like, I was looking at the design notes that Faber has. There's a ton of stuff that doesn't make it in the canon. You know,
I think my favorite part of the whole thing that he posted was when he specifically mentioned that there were the only two elements that didn't have one were like gravity and what was the other one?
Magnetism.
Magnetism.
Yeah, gravity and magnetism. So it's like if that's in the design notes or the Maori culture, that means two things. Either Bionicle was initially planned with gravity and magnetism in mind in some capacity. Or the Maori culture had like a lot of stuff to do with gravity and
Like plasma.
The thing is,
and
like,
psionics.
The only elements that didn't stand for more were gravity and magnetism, meaning that there were the other elements that we find out about there as well.
The Maori culture had like something literally, for psionics.
Yeah, exactly. No, I was like, yeah, you know, the Maori culture did have a concept of cognition for psionics, you know, the mind, right? That was an element that they had as part of the thing. I can't imagine that they had anything related to like stuff like plasma or stuff like, you know. This is based. I mean, this is. Remember, from his point of view, he's saying that this is before the colonists arrived to the scene. So that this is not just like this is culture before colonists come and kind of like give him any sort of notion of advanced science or something. So plasma, the concept of plasma is just wouldn't exist. It'd just be fire. You know, this is the same thing. It's like if he said fire, water. Earth, air, too, that would also be something different because those are traditional four elements that are recognized by many cultures around the world. But like ice and stone, he gives ice and stone like these meanings. There's no way the Maori would have included ice and stone as separate elements. It would have been that's only a thing in Bionicle. Literally nowhere else are those two considered separate elements from water and earth at the same time. I know some people in the walk site on our studio audience says that plasma is very different from fire, and you're totally right. But I'm saying that as a more tribal culture, as a bit more primitive culture before the colonists, there's no way the Maori would have like be able to distinguish the difference between fire and plasma. Most normal people can't tell you the difference between plasma and fire. You know, in
exactly.
America, which is they just never come across it.
Moral of the story.
Moral of the story, listen, correct us. Please, the fact check, we have people in our comment, in our, again, live studio audience, they do it. I love it. Just actually know what you're talking about. Like, look up your source, make sure you're like, you know, you're actually talking about something that is canon, that makes sense, that is like, you know, something that can be called out on. And if you had something cool, if you have cool ideas, say it's a cool idea. You know, there's no harm in that. Just don't
the
pretend
age
it's like,
old guide to prosperity. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Basically.
As a wise man once said. Yes.
All right. So we are close to 40 minutes.
That was quite the rant.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was
40
insane.
Minutes. And along, we got some G3 talk to do.
Real quick, I really actually kind of find this comment funny. I'm your Huckleberry in our live studio audience said, Variki means purple in Maori.
Now I have to back check that too.
I think it's just screwing around.
Okay, maybe it's not purple, but it was in the design notes.
The dude
can we stop calling purple Variki?
Can you just real quick, because we are going to talk about some Variki concept that was done as part of G3. Can you believe that the original concept of Variki convinced anybody ever?
Are you kidding me?
It
tricked me, hands down.
We were all dumb and ignorant at one point.
It tricked Suddenly Oranges.
Well, I mean, no, okay. Listen, I totally get. I mean, for some of us, we were kids when it got released, so that makes sense. Like, some other people were adults, you know?
Fair. Older individuals, yeah.
They're like, I mean, it was such a huge thing to no one say, listen, this is obviously fake. Look at that. Look at that photo. Oh, man.
Dude, that looks
legit. To get smarter,
AF,
you must be dumb first.
It's legit as frogs, man. I'm telling you.
Are frogs not
just
legit?
Frogs.
Do they not exist?
Oh, they are. No, they're legit.
Frogs are legit. That's what I'm saying. Like,
is it all
they're
just
legit as frogs?
They're all right, legitimate frogs.
I get it. Thanks, Scorpion Strike, for that photo.
Okay, all right. Let's talk some G3.
So last week we concluded our great element debate, and after much, you know, going around in circles, we're sticking with the core element with some modifications, which we described in depth in the last week's podcast. So if you missed it, I would go watch it to see the resolution to that debate. We are ending with the same old elements, except Earth now incorporates elements of jungle and plant life to form more of a nature-based element, and the Toa of Air has been changed to the Toa of Wind. Those are the biggest alterations to the formula. We also have new different naming conventions in order to specify like the differences between the elements based on the regions rather than the elements themselves. Those are like alternative kind of to go in tandem with their actual names, Toa of Fire, etc. Like, and then this week, what do we want to talk about, guys? I think we should showcase some concept art.
Can I ask something?
Some concept art. Let's do some world building. Go for it, X.
What's up, X?
Is that what's like with Bonnacle? They always had like a shooty gimmick thing. Is Bonnacle? Are we thinking that there's going to be a shooty?
We haven't
gimmick
got
thing?
There yet, but
too far along. But I don't. I mean, probably in the sets at some point. Yeah.
Maybe. Like, are they going to have Beyblades? You know, or something?
Honestly, like that. Well, once we're done with the world building and that kind of thing, we should get into actual set design and what they'll actually contain. But I do think it's important to kind of like get the, because we're getting a lot of concept art. A lot of people are doing amazing stuff for us. And I do feel like we should kind of make sure that that's all motion, so people can start writing fan fiction a little more. People can start doing art a little more, you know, kind of get that whole thing off the ground. Huh. But, you know, very important distinction next. We should actually think about, like,
this week,
action features.
I just like things that shoot, man. It's neat.
Oh, yeah, I feel you.
Yeah. But
this week, the one, the only Umatu responsible for the character concept has begun to draw a lot of concepts of the villages of Ranunui, Okoro, whatever it's gonna be called.
We've talked about his stuff before. He did a lot of work for the montage of all the Toa in their environments beforehand, and we talked about it a couple weeks ago on the podcast. He did a lot more stuff over this week. So I'm going to post some of this.
I just take a moment to just say, I know he's here watching in the live studio audience, so shout out to you, Umatu. This art, it reminds me of Matt Bedeker's.
Well, he's Matt Griffith, so that
exactly
totally works out. He mentioned
Griffith,
that on.
It's great. Yeah. I know you do great art, but this art looks just like this would blend in incredibly well with like the actual Bionicle concept art in the art book, you know? Mm-hmm. It looks very
this
similar.
This is the kind of stuff I'd expect to see in the official art book.
This is one thing that you do that's just, like, amazes me every time I look at it. It's just the environment.
The landscapes are
just gorgeous. I can't, like, that's one thing that, like, you know, in terms of, like, concept art, the rest of the people here who do art are, like, you know, it's, they're very good of characters, but, like, you know, of landscapes, I know Purple was talking, she has kind of a hard time doing some landscapes as well.
Yeah, I tried doing one as well, but then, like, I never got back to it.
Oh, man, I am terrible.
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to get better at it, because it is important.
I somewhat want to start kind of Takoro, Kokoro, Likoro, that kind of a deal. Go that way.
Okay. Just you want to get that?
Yeah.
Takoro.
I'd like that. Takoro looks great. Love the castle thing. Just want to make a really stupid comment. On the, you see the little, I guess, Matoran fellow? He's jumping across the rocks, and there's like a cross in one of the rocks.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that get in his way? Like, he's jumping across the rocks, and he doesn't want to knock over the cross, so he, like, jumps on the rock. He's like, oh, no, and falls in, so they have to put in another cross.
What cross? Oh, I see the cross. I see the cross.
Tawahi. It's on the bottom.
Yeah, it's the one on the far left. There's, like, a cross on one of the rocks.
Far left.
Not far left. Rocks. Bottom center.
The far left of the rocks. There's three rocks. The leftmost
rock.
That's
right.
Are you talking about the dude holding a board?
Oh.
For lava surfing? That dude? Yeah.
That's a dude. Oh. Whoops.
It's not a cross.
Wow.
I like how... I think my biggest complaint with this would just be it's a little dark, but I actually kind of like that. Like the village in general.
Yeah,
like,
no,
it
totally
works well. I'm not opposed to like some brighter colors, but I mean, that's where the lava comes in, you know? So...
I feel like, alright, so someone did make a comment beforehand, and I apologize because I tried to find this comment beforehand and I couldn't. I know it was on YouTube. I'm trying to see if I can find it again right now. But someone mentioned a comment where he said, what if the... Because I mentioned putting like a fur coat or something on Kopaka. Kind of like a show, like a minifigure concept would have a fur coat. And he was like, what if they... Each of the villages was not only distinct and everything, but actually had distinct architecture based off old culture in the world. So like the in Tawahi, they were based off medieval culture, and then like in Pokoro, they were based off like Persian kind of, you know, or Egyptian kind of architecture, and each different Koro took design cues or elements from old cultures based around the area. And I was like, that's actually really cool. That's a really cool idea.
Yeah, that's really cool. I like that a lot.
Like, I'm thinking about, like, because, like, how Kopaka has the sword and shield and everything. It, like, you know, so the Tahu would have the medieval stuff, and then maybe, like, Kokoro would have, like, a samurai-inspired, like, a Japanese-inspired thing. And then, like, you know, in I'm trying to think of any others, but like carrying the element throughout the different koros would
actually
be really cool.
I actually really like from our studio audience Wadon's suggestion. Kokoro would be Viking centric instead of samurai.
That also was kind
of
cool.
The only thing that
I was actually thinking that the Viking culture though could be the Onukoro, because so Onua could have that, like,
I don't know if we're gauging a little bit more toward a jungly. Kind of
I would say Onukoro would be more like an Aztec style.
Yeah, that's also exactly
cool.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think because think like Vikings, mines, you think cool. Scandinavian, you think cold. Not
well,
you,
I'm just
X,
the
you're
one
a
thing
person.
I do like. I like the Viking culture a lot. What do Viking houses look like off the top of your head? Do you have like a?
Yeah, like, I don't actually know.
Yeah, that would be
they're
my
made
thing.
Of rocks
the Vikings
and wood.
They're really cool outfits, but I don't know what their houses look like, and that's the only reason I didn't
be made
them.
Out of cobblestone with kind of like those.
It'd be similar in design to Takoro's, probably.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I'm thinking.
I don't know. I'm going to look this up. Viking houses, architecture,
Omatu
design.
Posted in the chat of something that looks
similar,
but not as, like, to that point of perfection.
It's
like, a little more rugged.
It's like Jorvaska from Skyrim. It's that it's like where they've taken it's like where they've taken their war boat that they sailed on and they've put the roof at it as a roof.
Right,
they've turned upside down and then they built it. That's so amazing. I love houses like that. It just has like
cool.
more meaning to it. by making
yeah,
it like,
and like
a boat.
The kind of like ice fishing thing that actually could come in.
Yeah.
All right, so let's start talking. All right.
Oh, it's awesome! Yeah, ice fishing and everything. There could be like a whole culture around like fishing and like boating and everything.
We could do that
boating,
the same thing with Galkoro as well. Okay, let's settle on a Koro and talk about it real quick. Which Koro you want to talk about right now?
Kokoro next. Wait. Yeah, of these art.
We'll pick a Koro and we'll just develop it over the course of this.
Oh, I'm talking about the concept. We haven't finished with the concepts.
Oh, you want to finish with the concepts? Yeah. Okay, I was gonna do a thing where every time we talk about a village, we would show that concept and be like.
Oh.
But all right, do you want to finish? All right,
I just want to spell this. Like, there were a couple things here that were new that he did that that we hadn't really discussed. Like, he giving Kopaka a red cape instead of a red tribal print in order to simulate like the flag.
I really like that.
I'm a huge fan of it. More so than I can properly convey. It just looks so cool. The only thing that makes me not want to go that route is that there's no way to translate that look into a minifigure without making a new cloth piece, like the one. I mean,
how did you expect the capes to look in Lego?
With the regular capes?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Would the regular cape not work?
No, because the
regular cape would not look like it is in this concept. It wouldn't have that kind of flowing look. It'd be very triangular.
It's the flowing look that I like. The one, like, it's kind of a half
that,
cape, not
yeah,
the
that,
actual
that
cape.
Won't be represented.
No, nope. You would have to make a new piece that, like,
unfortunately.
I'd say forget the new piece and just go with the normal cape and forget
the cape look?
What do we think about Kopaka and Leela and having a cape too? Like that was
Leela's cape is fine, just like a regular cape. With Kopaka's, though, it's the flowing look because it's meant to simulate, like, the flag. That's important. With Leela, the regular cape's fun. You know, just a dude.
I think it's a concept that sort of evokes some familiar imagery to sort of sell you on the idea, but I don't think it necessarily needs to look exactly like that in set point.
I should rephrase. If the way that it looks here is what sells it to me. Before, I didn't want Kopaka to have a cape. This look sold it. Without that look, I'm fine with tribal printing.
I think that's a little bit of a stretch. Like, I know what you're getting at, but I feel like you're falling into that whole, wow, this Lego Bionicle G2 concept art is so much better than what we got, Trap.
I'm just saying what appeals to me. I have no interest in Kopaka having exactly the same cape as Leela, you know?
I will agree there.
I guess I'm just not sure I understand. Are you talking about the cape itself always flowing, or do you just like how it kind of covers the shoulders and everything too?
Cover the shoulder.
Here we go.
I imagine Kopaka as having a half cape, whereas Leela has the full cape.
Look at what audience member Bookleman posted. Phasma.
Yeah, like the pauldron, Captain Phasma. That's the look I want.
Kopaka had Phasma's cape, and then Leela had the standard. I think that would work best.
Agreed.
X, you posted this cape that actually looks really cool. It's plastic, so it's not like it doesn't flow or anything.
I think it's soft.
Is it soft?
I don't know. I have not bought it yet. But the big thing about it, though, is how it looks from the front, which I found a picture of. Like, I don't know how if it fits, but I just thought of capes, and I remember seeing that cape.
Yeah, that's pretty close to that
picture. That's interesting. It's consideration.
Yeah, it looks almost royal. I don't know how that fits with anything, but I thought it'd be worth mentioning. It's a cool cape.
No, that is really
cool. Awesome.
But yeah, no, I really
do
like
the concept.
This change to Kopaka from his previous iteration. I love that the idea of having that resemblance to the flag, which is a very iconic item from Kokoro.
Mm. Yeah, most definitely.
Well, it is from G1 Kokoro, but.
It's the only Kokoro.
I like the concept, and I think it looks really pretty in the image, and it definitely evokes some nostalgic themes there, but I'm not sure I dig the look itself. I think the idea of it sitting next to that flag really sells it home, but I don't think it actually would look all too great on a real minifigure in a normal setting and actual sets here. I don't know. I'm not a fan of the red cape as the primary, like, big red color. I think it would stand out a bit too much on the figure itself.
He also, if you look closely, he has some red markings on his arms, so I figure there are still some accents there. But they've been highly diluted, which I do like.
Yeah.
Granted, I thought a guy holding a board was a cross, so what do I know?
Opinions highly suspect.
Obviously. I got, while Kahi got the discount ears, I got the discount eyes.
All right. Next one, maybe?
Gakura. Okay, yes. I don't really have much to say regarding this concept art. I think it's fine. I think it's adequate for a Lee region. However, I do want to address, and I've already talked to him a little bit about this over personal conversation on our boards. I do have an issue with how he wants to pronounce Liwa, but that's just a personal thing. It's not anything... He would prefer it be Lua, and I understand that. That's a perfectly valid way to pronounce it. I just personally don't think that's
I really want Lua.
I'm in camp Lua.
here's why, okay?
This is
relevant to the discussion. It's because it's a joke. In Generation 1, the canon pronunciation was Lewa. In Generation 2, the canon pronunciation was Liwa. And so in Generation 3, our canon pronunciation should be Lua, just so, like, it changes every generation. That's what I'm thinking.
But it wasn't Lewa.
In Generation 1, officially the thing. Yeah. Greg pronounced it Liwa, but in the official pronunciation guides, it is marked down as Lewa.
Unfortunately.
Okay.
Wait, it's...
Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't feel like talking about that. So I'll take your word for it. I don't want to fact check you.
It's like...
The biggest thing he's done to Lee Koro is it's now, like, in this concept, it's like floating islands, which we did speak about before. But
I thought
we
were talking about Gakura, but all right.
Me too. Hell, just started talking about Lee Koro, so I was like, all right, may as well go with it. The floating islands thing is unique. It's no longer like the treetop kind of village because he's not so much dealing with, you know, plant life anymore. He's more about the wind. So the village is floating on the wind, and I really like that look. It's got, like, he mentions they can build hanging cities, which can only be reached by winged Rahi. Windmills would be prominent in their architecture. Rope bridges, etc., etc., etc. And I think that works very well with this new concept for Liwa, because you can see, like, in the background, one of those bridges that connects two of the different islands together. I like that a lot. Yeah. Just as one interpretation of what that could look like.
I like it a lot, too. I think it works. If we were going with architecture, what are we thinking?
Valid question.
For Lee Koro?
Yeah, for Lee Koro.
Yeah, I'd say bamboo. Maybe use bamboo quite a bit. Like, natural resources from the forest, I think.
I was actually
kind of
thinking, like... Oh, sorry. If you're...
Continuing. Well, I was just going to say, like, basically, either that or basically... you know, Avatar, like, they had home tree, kind of, like, base similar to that. Like, they, instead of destroying trees, they just build into the trees.
Which Avatar are you talking about?
Like,
not Last
Blue
Airbender.
Avatar.
Okay. Alien Avatars.
Yeah, they, like, live in this massive tree. Like, they basically...
Pocahontas
they've
rip-off.
Carved the inside of the tree, like, to go upwards, and that's where they live. They haven't, like, cut down any trees. They've just made a home within the tree. So maybe like that.
Intriguing.
I see your idea, but I think we may want to try and branch away from trees in regards to...
branch away
trees. I didn't mean it. you know, because like they're on a mountain now, yeah, and trees may want to be something we give a little bit more visually towards Onukoro.
I was thinking maybe something more along the lines of, like, Greek architecture and, like, with smooth stones and marble and stuff that's sort of reminiscent of, like... I guess the floating islands made me think of, like, Mount Olympus.
And, that's like, true.
That's interesting.
I don't know.
Greeks are kind of like the pantheon kind of thing with marble.
Yeah, yeah, kind of like
actually, I think that I like that because marble is white and it kind of like, well, if we have
the
green...
It would match the color scheme.
Yeah, right, it would match
we have the green
color.
Ground and the floating island and then the white of the Aliwa. That actually match everything pretty well. So I do like that a lot. I like that idea.
It's definitely unique and I'm a fan of it. I'm down. Let's do it.
Yeah, I like the whole floating
island
thing.
Reminds me of, like,
thing.
Stuff in Final Fantasy.
You won me over with the white and... Because the white armor. Because, like, I'll never like white and green, but it does make... It adds to that. That makes a lot more sense. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, and also, like, it would be really cool because it would basically demonstrate the power that they possibly have if they do have marble up there. and they dress like in this regal color scheme, it could work. Yeah, I like
Village
that idea.
Of the Wind. I like it.
Village of the Wind. I mean, we could have like someone say we could actually have multiple villages. We were talking about calling it the Village of the Sky. We could have separate villages that are part of the element too. G2 had those, but they weren't distinct. So
that makes like way much more sense, like having Matoran of Air like actually living like in the air, so to speak. Well, right. In the sky.
Purple did do this very, very, very rough idea of what the islands looked like, floating around Lycoro.
Mm-hmm. Looks like it's being shot in the air.
Yeah, it's because of the sun.
It's because of the sun.
Right.
What does that sign say? I want to know.
Okay, her and her signs, go left, I swear.
It probably says go left, Meso.
Go left, Meso.
Go the other way.
Jeez, like, how did it go?
Signs. Drives me nuts.
I like this. I would definitely see it on like just... Sign. I definitely say them like a grand, massive scale.
Yes. Right. It'd be a lot more imposing and a lot more like.
Does Bionicle do they require water to survive?
We haven't got that far yet.
Yeah, we haven't gotten that stage.
But like, imagine a floating island.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Look,
and they're all,
I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
And they have like an ocean in there, and that's like their entire supply of water. If someone like makes a hole under it, it just.
Floating island is cool. How do they get up to the floating island?
I mean, they fly.
Is there an elevator?
They use
the other element is wind.
And they got like Jungle Rai.
How do they import anything?
Yeah,
they
can use the Rahi, flying Rahi.
Yeah, Jungle Flying Rahi.
Yeah.
Nui Ramas.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's like a little station in the ground, and they're like, I actually kind of like that idea. There's like giant like Rahi of like shipping containers almost, and they
Gucco.
Like they have
like
to like
the
load
ones
them
in
up.
The second
yeah, like,
movie.
Maybe
yeah.
That could
flying.
Be an explanation for the really vertical Gucco bird that was entered into our contest. They have to like put boxes on them as they fly around. Like that. All
I mean,
right.
They could always like make trams as well. Like you could use things like that.
Yeah. We kind of skipped over Kokoro talking about Kopaka. But since Var brought up the architecture question for Lycoro, let's think about Kokoro. What kind of architecture would they have?
We already
decided
about
that.
Viking.
Cool. What about Takora? We decided that too.
That was also kind of decided.
That was
we
also
kind of
yeah.
That's
the
more
medieval
of a medieval,
stuff.
Medieval
historical
Viking.
Castle.
Yeah, I'm thinking like material. So we got like I remember you had cobblestone, and now we have marble for Lycoro and Kokoro. Yeah. In that case, we got one more from Umatu, Gakoro. And this one's also kind of a redesign of what Gakoro has typically been.
So he posted the images up if you want to scroll up a little bit. But essentially, what one of the things that he made about this concept is that with Gakoro, essentially it's kind of like a canyon, and the water would come with the tide and fill it up, and then also regress.
Love that idea.
I thought it was
so
super cool.
Great idea.
He also like in tandem too. This is an idea I've been thinking about Gakoro for a while. He kind of mentioned it that the huts should be like floating on top of the water. And I had this idea that like they were kind of like these wooden like square boats almost that were like or like rafts almost that like and each Matoran's hut not while it served a purpose was also kind of its own boat that was connected modularly to the entire village. And so, like, you know, if you had your, you have a thing that's a fishing station, or you have a thing that, like, that makes flax, you know, like they did in Minog 2, that you could also detach and kind of, like, maneuver your hut around and kind of, like, you know, it would have its own either, like, a sail or, like, a paddle or, like, a motor or something. And, like, that's how the village was all kind of distinct. It was a bunch of rafts kind of, like, you know, connected together.
Yeah.
This Gawahi concept is my favorite. He mentions in the topic that it is, the concept is a coral forest. Where it's just, it fills
That's
up and
cool.
drains of water throughout
right,
the
air. Right,
right. And when it drains,
was,
it carves out canyons and waterfalls.
I also got reminded of, sometimes there's air pockets in the sea where, it, basically with a cave, you can go swim up a cave, and because it's an area in itself, it's an air pocket. So, like, if I was ever to design it, I would say, like, maybe implement the raft thing. That's already, if you've already got a good idea, you might as well implement it. So they could have some rafts up top, but they could also have, like, I don't know, like, they could have, for example, the Turaga needs to be protected, so they'll put it in an air pocket. because that would be safe, and you'd need to be taken there, instead of having, like, you know, the elder, like, live outside in the open of the ocean, maybe, like, safer areas. I was just thinking, like, well, it's a natural phenomenon there, might as well just kind of use that too.
That's true. Alright.
Purple also made some Gakuro concepts. She actually did a lot of great art this week for the leading up to it. This is more of like a port city kind of deal, which kind of ties back to what I was saying, though, you could have kind of multiple cities, because a port city is probably important for Gakuro to have, as well as the canyon city, which is like floating, essentially. Or the one that's rising in, up and down with the tide. Or the two concepts might contradict. We have to find an even ground there, but this is just as some concepts.
This one does look cool. It's just more traditional.
It's like a fishing village.
Yeah, exactly. Almost like the same kind of general structure as G1's Gakuro, just without the lily pads.
Yeah, it's like it's inland instead of at sea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which works. I have no problem with that. That is like the coral forest one more. But I like the idea of having multiple sub-villages, because that's what G2 implied that they did. Right. It's just a matter of making that work, like, logistically.
They very blatantly said it.
Yeah, they're very much like, yes, we have other villages. I'm from this village, closer to the border or whatever.
Outpost.
And then finally, let's see. Do we have any? Do we have anything for any of the other Koros that we want to go through real quick?
I believe that's all.
Umachi just posted a concept for Mayan stuff that he wanted to. He was thinking for Lee Koro, but I think that might tie into what we're talking about for Onikoro. And there's another concept for Onikoro as well. Purple does in like 3 seconds, but it was like we're talking about concepts for Onikoro and how it could be kind of underground, underneath the canopy, underneath the roots. There's some designs on the message boards that showed like a concept of the thing being under roots. This is what she came up with, which is a thing underground. Let me see if I can find the one with the roots as well.
So,
So it's like it's like a cavern or a crevice. Like the light is still coming through, but it's still in a cave.
Yeah.
I really like that idea.
Yeah, that's nice. It kind of like it splits up, because that's the problem I have with Onokoro. Aside from like, if you can implement like the lights and like the different glow plants. But the thing is, glow plants have become pretty old because everybody uses them. But like, it really splits up the color scheme for the whole area. Like, I don't like it when there's only one color in one area. So it's nice, like, that the vegetation and the water kind of like, and the light itself, it would split up the different colors and make it look more vibrant and interesting as a place and more habitable as well.
I really like Umadu's concept for the region of Earth, and I think you can kind of combine both ideas a little bit. I kind of want to move away from the idea of locking our Earthian villagers to the underground.
The underground? I'm totally with you.
Do you
totally
know what that concept art reminds me of? It reminds me of the beginning of Dark Souls 2. You know that
You're
massive...
right! It's like that place!
Yeah, it's like when that bright light is at the end and you're traveling, and there's still vegetation and stuff.
Things
it's still a place where things can grow.
Yeah,
it's like
it's
a place between worlds. It's like,
cool,
I loved that environment. Yeah. Definitely the best part of Dark Souls.
If we did the sub-villages thing, then an underground village and an above-ground village would be a really cool thing to have.
We could have a mining colony, which is like a small village. And like, there was that point in Monog where you went and you found all the miners and they were like mining stuff down below. And that could tie into a lot of different things.
Everybody gets it. All the miners.
Wow. All right.
Okay. Wow.
And moving on.
What? But yes, I like the idea of like the region of Earth kind of having this like sort of cavernous system here where there's like these crevices that go deeper into the ground, but there's also like different levels to it and different sort of like just levels actually is the word I was looking for.
Definitely.
Where the villages and overall like the city, I guess, is what I'm thinking. Like the people that inhabit this area can go from level to level, and it's a very large, over encompassing area. It's not just a big circle underground.
too right. I agree completely.
I'm trying to find this thing. What do you guys think about having... I'm trying to find this concept art because I know it's around here somewhere, but I'm not... I'm forgetting which topic it is, essentially. What do you guys think about having a part of Onikoro underneath, like, a... Like, some guy put a concept of the village underneath a tree, and it was, like, in the root system of the tree as well. Like the root system would kind of like be branching over it, and you'd still have like a sunlight and stuff coming through. But it'd be
see that. I mean, the best part about like not being reduced to one village is that you can do that concept and all these concepts all together.
Too right. I'm perfectly fine all with that. That's a cool idea. So, Taukpaka, Liwa Onua, Gali, what's the plan for Pohatu?
I was thinking like Persian or Egyptian architecture. If you look at like the Prince of Persia,
because I know a lot of people were saying, you know, they like the idea of nomad, like small villages that crop up and then go away, and I like that too, but I still want to have like a few like actual big sprawling
villages. We could have nomads still.
Yeah, we could have, we can keep that element, but that doesn't mean we can't have a village as well, or you know, a couple villages.
Yeah,
and right. I like that concept of like Persian, maybe Egyptian architecture.
Might be a little bit of a stretch, maybe Roman. I don't know if that's...
I feel Roman's a little too similar to the Greek.
That was my concern. I was just...
Yeah. So what, are you thinking like... What do you say, like Egyptian? Are they going to be like... Are the villages going to be tan, like, basically, the huts? Like, in G1, the tan sand, tan villages? Or like, what color are we thinking?
They could... I mean, like, in Persia, they use... they actually do use blue for good bits.
That's a contrast I wouldn't have thought of. But yeah, I can see it working it either. Too.
Well, it's like sand is orange.
Quite right.
So.
Huh. I was thinking about how that would look visually. Because Pokora is the only one we don't have concept art for. Umatu, save us.
Scorpion Strike does mention Petra, which is actually kind of cool as well. There are these kind of villages that are built into the side of the stone. It's actually kind of cool. They look like almost. Kind of like Greek architecture. We have the pillars and you have like the sharp angles and the classical structure, but it's carved out of stone into the side of stone. Arabian architecture.
Interesting.
Is also pretty good. Says Krozik.
I think we'll need a little bit more time to draft something up.
Yeah,
for this.
We'll probably have to
we'll
think
need
about
some
we'd have to we'd have to like yeah
we need some
we'd
visuals have to kind here. Of
go back and forth and see what's going to be done before we do it. I did have that idea too, that like there'd just kind of be like these giant crystals also embedded that kind of like throughout the night.
I want to do that for at least one of the villages. That'd be cool.
I think so too. That'd be
quite cool to have glowing like crystals in the like the Pokor area.
I think in general like they should use smaller crystals as like general lights to begin with. Light stones and that concept was really cool in G1. I wish we had kind of got that further
because
the mining of them and everything.
Whereas in Kokoro's areas, especially in the shift, or I don't know what it's called exactly, but that area where it's like blizzards all the time and you don't know where you're going, there's red. But red wouldn't stand out very well in a desert because it's orange. So having something like a color like white or like a similar color to that, it's kind of like a nice contrast between the different places. Like they're very similar but different at the same time. That'd be kind of cool.
Too right. Something else
That's
I want to talk about.
The third time you said that, Mesa.
Too right.
Fourth.
Something else I want to talk about before we end today is unless we want to do like more, I have no problem with going longer if you guys really want to. Talk about Zeros's Toa Team pictures
because
he's done some cool concept art as well. And it's just, you know, it's nothing revolutionary new, but it is of the characters planned out how we've been talking about them.
It's not revolutionary, but it's definitely refining to the point where they are essentially perfect at this point.
It's like a good mix between G1 and 2.
Yep. It's a good mix, and it also draws a lot of inspiration from Umatu's previous designs, from like what Var was thinking of with the colors and that kind of thing.
Definitely.
I really,
basically
like,
exactly what I had in mind.
Yeah,
I love how Liwa is completely sold on me.
Honestly, Onua
and Liwa,
honestly for Liwa, definitely warms me up to the white and the green. I love how this looks, how he illustrated it. Primarily, I like the blue accent. Not a teal, but a blue, a light blue.
Yeah,
I really do
cool.
enjoy that because, you know, color of the sky.
Yeah.
But with Onua, I would definitely want to change that tan color to be darker.
Yeah, the a little darker.
Either a very dark tan or a dark green.
Dark tan can closer work to like what
Umatu's concept was. Yeah.
Yeah. Umarak kind of thing. I do work like. Well.
Gali, I like Gali a lot. I feel like she uses that orange highlight really
well. I love the orange printing. I love how it looks. I love how it's distributed. It looks.
I feel like definitely like the thing of the tribal prince here. He was kind of able to consolidate it a little more. And like, you know, from Umatu's previous concepts, make it a bit more uniform, not too elaborate or too distinctive, and but while giving it its own character and while giving it its own kind of life, you know.
Too right.
It's very well done. It's like a never pass over for a concept that we have, and I feel like these are really close to perfect. There might be a couple tweaks, like Elde is saying, with the colors and certain designs and with the tribal pattern stuff. But generally, this is as close as I feel like we've gotten to like what I really want them to look like.
Definitely, Xerath, do like minifigures. Portraits, not like. Elaborate drawings, but just like one each minifigure shown off front and back.
One thing I love this. I like both Umatu's kind of more realistic style and Xerath's cartoony style. But one thing I like about Xerath is that he does have all the Toa in a team. We've yet to really see that from a lot of the concept art that we've done, and just in general, we've yet to really see the Toa interacting with each other as a team, how they look together. You know,
yeah.
Avar, I know you were talking about how that was an important factor into like how the Toa were overall for you. You want to see how they look together. So if people want to do stuff on that based off the characters, now that we're, and you know, we're figuring out the world and figuring out that kind of thing, there's still so much more stuff I want to like talk about the world we haven't gotten to. There's like a ton of cool topics that are brought up about religion and like other stuff.
Oh yeah, no, we'll get to that next episode.
Yeah, we'll have an episode dedicated to that.
At some point, I still need to bring up that whole light dark augmentation theory.
Yeah,
actually, let's. Do you want to touch upon that briefly, real quick? And I guess, like, I have.
I'm gonna leave that to the crowd here, and by that I mean the others, because we are running a bit long.
Do you guys want to go a bit longer? Do you guys want to cut it short?
I don't know. I feel like we could probably wait another week.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I feel like that could start its own conversation.
Let's wait.
It probably would.
All right.
Yeah.
There's also one other thing I want to like not necessarily discuss because I don't want to end, but I just want to like spotlight it. Is the Bionicle Toa Uniter minifigures? They're rough. They're obviously not like ideal, but these are the first time where I've seen somebody like make rough kind of preliminary concepts of the Toa and line them all up next to each other. So that deserves credit because it's like in real life. He like,
oh wow, these are really cool.
He painted or like they got custom decals that have like the Uniter chest plates, and they're kind of bootleg because the print I imagine was rather difficult.
I love Gali's like
it works well enough.
One shoulder pad, that's so
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, he kept Gali's one shoulder pad. Leo's got the axes, you know. Potter's got his stupid flail thing. Anua's got the hammer. So, and even Tama's got his weird swords with like the front and the back, you know. I just thought that was cool.
Hey. Real talk, can we give Tahu normal swords for once
yes,
in his life?
Yeah, can we please?
just give him normal swords.
I didn't mind the fact
that
his
cool
swords
design, but yeah, he's like just always had some weird wonky swords.
I like this.
Except for the first in G1, he had a fire sword that was like just a sword.
Good. The first sword was good. Yeah. It was simple. It's just like crazy all the time.
That are conducted by heat, and that's pretty cool.
The one cool thing about
the 1,000 degree
knives,
but in swords.
Get hype.
G2's Tahu Master Sword is that they could turn into the lava board.
They
could just turn into the lava board. They look huge. Like, yeah, that was the only thing. Like they looked
super
huge.
Yeah, I hated the way the handles were placed and just the overall.
That was my biggest thing, like how the handles were.
Yeah, the handles were
I did
like
that concept
really
that like you could just push them together and form that fireboard without any trouble. So.
And those Toa Uniter minifigures were made by Umarak, who's gone over to the light side and made minifigures of the Toa.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
So shout out to you, Umarak. All right. That is probably all for this week's episode of the TDB Podcast. As always, with G3, wish we could do more stupid car outside. I wish we could do more, but we will.
Do stupid cars outside.
What car? I didn't hear a car.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
We will be back next week to continue the discussion, and as always.
What's the car telling you?
Your feedback is appreciated. Share your thoughts on what we've discussed and with the concept artists on their posts on the TDB message boards, because all feedback helps everybody. They tweak the concept art, and then we tweak our ideas based on it. It's one big, great collaborative process. It's quite helpful.
Right.
So, thank you for watching. be sure to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/theTTV channel to get some new content that we all... What am I saying? To get some cool perks over at Patreon. I was like, get new content. We don't have new content over there. We do a lot of cool stuff on Patreon. We get early access audio. We do monthly live streams. You get to join the live studio audience and contribute to the podcast as it is recording, both TTV and Brickfeed, and share your thoughts live behind the scenes. And as you can tell during this episode, we shout out messages. We take feedback there. It just makes it more involved. It makes you more of a part of it. And we really like the studio audience. It's one of the best things we've done. It's quite helpful to us to do the podcast that way. So feel free to go over and subscribe as little as $1 a month. Get access to that. Or $3 a month if you want the early access to early podcast audio. And as usual every week, shout out to one of our patrons. This week, I feel it's appropriate to shout out Matthew Griffith, a.k.a. Umatu, who has done all of our great content that we've been talking about for weeks.
You the man.
Thank you very much. And, yeah, thanks to all you patrons. Thank you're great people. See you all next week for the next exciting episode of the TTV Podcast. I'm Mesa.
I'm Var.
I'm LJ.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Fweffy.
I'm Tenebrae Invictus.
I'm the XX Trooper.
Hey, X, you're still alive. Anyway, see y'all next week. TTV 238, thanks for watching. Bye.
Bye.
See ya. Bye.